coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 36 of the Curious Realm podcast. Let me give you some light here so that you can actively see me. Hey, there we go. Now I'm not in the darkness. I am excited about tonight's episode. I have been excited since the decisions came down in October of last year that found Alex Jones liable for 10 years of literal falsities and pushing falsities and continuing to do so and continuing to hearsay and conjecture on them in a public forum where he had millions and millions of people listening every day, folks. And believe me, I am the biggest believer. And not only do I believe in your right to say anything, I will defend to my death your right to say it. However, much like the lawyer in the Alex Jones trial said the other day in the reparations hearings, it's not the actual term, but speech is free. Lies cost money. And I thought that was a very, very apropos way to put it, because it's one thing to, and believe me, folks, we hypothesize on this show. We get into all kinds of things. I have no holds barred when it comes to hypothesis. However, I will always make sure that somebody caveats the fact that this is their opinion or that this is my opinion, not that something is a fact. Nor do I continue to push that paradigm when proven wrong. I'm pretty good about coming out and saying like, hey, I was wrong about that. All kinds of things. And dirty secret revealed, I guess, to some audience members out there and to some group members. I am a former Free Speech Systems employee. At one point in my life, I actively sat across the microphone from Alex on the daily, bringing up articles and doing production and things like that. There are absolutely things that he has been on the right trail of, on the right track of, no doubt about it. However, this was one that went far and far beyond. And, it was the continuance of it that really, and the insistence on go talk to him, folks, things like that, that led to the horrible life that these parents got to live over the last decade through the vehement fans of Alex. And believe me, I am not here to disparage Alex Jones. What I am here to do tonight, folks, is talk to an actual defense lawyer about how this is not a case of First Amendment, how this is not a case of somebody being persecuted for their First Amendment rights or because of what they said. It is more the case of somebody being held accountable for what they said. And after a commercial break, we will be getting into the very, very personal side of Alex Jones, a part of the prism and a facet on the gem that is the man that nobody really gets to see or hear that much. And that is actually from his ex-wife, Kelly Jones, who is an activist. She has been trying to blow the whistle on Alex for years and years and it's funny because anytime the media comes to her, it's in situations like this. It's when Alex is on trial or something like that. And she's been trying to bring up things to the media for years and years and years, and they never listen to her, until they need to use her. So, I gave her two unabridged hours. We have a very, very intimate conversation about, yes, her involvement with the beginning of InfoWars, much like my wife with HC Productions does booking during the day for my company. You know, it's a husband-wife thing. And that was the company that he started. They were just getting started in a relationship, and things move forward, things went awry. And we will hear that whole backstory tonight. We will hear the messy, messy situations after their marriage. Things like him literally renting a helicopter and hovering over her property 20 feet over the court order distance with their child inside, scared to the dickens. So things like that. And you know, to even think about the fact that it came out in court that he was squirreling away $11,000 a day into a shell company. $11,000 a day. There it is right there from Independent. After being found liable in the Sandy Hook cases, this was 2021. He started just shoveling money into this shell corporation for safekeeping. And, you know, that is the actions of a guilty individual, folks. We will be getting into some of that. We will be getting into some of what became the literal cult of personality, and the media maven that is Alex Jones, that and now media pariah, and how oddly, after being banned, and this just goes to show what we are like mentally, you know. It's kind of the idea of when Howard Stern left regular radio, his numbers skyrocketed. Like, people went out and bought XM radio and Sirius radio to listen to Howard Stern on his private channel. That is exactly what happened with Alex, folks. And the fact is, his numbers went up. His sale numbers went up. And it was shown in court that he actually sold supplements for 100 times markup. 100 times markup. So we'll be getting into all that, everything else, with our good friend, J.L. Carpenter. J.L. Carpenter is a defense attorney out of the Houston, Texas Gulf region. JL is the head counsel at jlcarpenterlaw.com. Welcome back to the show, JL. How are you? You still there, JL? Uh-oh. Did I lose JL? Oh, I did. She texted me that I lost her. Let me get her back on the line. Sorry about that, folks. That's what you call a live show.
Hi there.
There she is. So, yeah, we were just talking about Alex Jones. And honestly, my favorite thing about this, which I did not know, I'd been sending JL articles. I sent her the video of Alex that we'll play here in a minute, at least the first couple minutes of it, because it really does give you an idea of that megalomania that's there, that almost, once again, cult of personality, where it's like, what is this that's going on? You were not even, like, Alex Jones had never even hit your personal or social or political radar
until
I contacted you about this.
Yeah, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed.
I had no idea who, I kind of in the back of my mind have heard InfoWars. But had no idea who Alex Jones was, no idea about the controversy of his statement until you brought it to my attention.
Yeah, yeah. And it goes long and far, you know. I mean, this is a case that goes back to right after Sandy Hook, 2012. So let's kind of start cracking the nut real quick, JL. I guess let's hear it from Alex's words first. Let's go straight up to his site here. We are here at Infowars.com, folks. And here is the video that he released on August 4th. This was the day that the judgment came out. And it came out that, you know, he was going to owe, this was his $4 million verdict. This was before it came out to be 50. So, let's hear what Alex has to say in his own words.
The Democratic Party. The entire corporate media lined up against InfoWars and the American people's free speech. The judge, more than 20 times in the last week and a half in Austin, Texas, told the jury while I was there in the courtroom, and it was on national TV, that Alex Jones is guilty. The lawyers for the plaintiffs asked for between $150 million and $3 billion. The jury came in this evening with $4.2 million. I admitted I was wrong. I admitted I made a mistake. I admitted that I followed disinformation, but not on purpose. I apologized to the families. And the jury understood that. What I did to those families was wrong, but I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't lie about WMDs in Iraq and kill millions of people on purpose. I questioned a public event because I saw anomalies and others saw anomalies. And the jury understood that and awarded $4.2 million. Now, that's more money than my company and I personally have, but we are going to work on trying to make restitution there. Now, here's the next phase of this. When the judge realized that when I was on the stand, I woke that jury up and laid out the facts, she ruled today that in the punitive damage phase that starts tomorrow, I cannot testify and my lawyer cannot put on evidence. So she already found me guilty and told the jury I was guilty. And now she's saying we can't defend ourselves in the punitive damages phase. I trust in God. I trust in the truth coming out. And at the end of the day, I don't have all these millions of dollars they claim I have, so I'm at peace. But this is still a major victory for truth. And the plaintiff's lawyers got upset in the courtroom. And according to multiple witnesses, were screaming and yelling at my lawyers, Joe and Andino, when they were in the hall. They thought they would get hundreds of millions of dollars we don't have. They thought they would shut us down. But that jury understood the truth and resisted the propaganda. We'll be covering this tomorrow on the Friday show in detail and the punitive damage is this section of this. But this is a big deal. Now, listen, we're in bankruptcy right now.
This is my favorite part.
We can barely keep the crew employed. We are fighting hard for your First Amendment, your Second Amendment, your Tenth Amendment, your sovereignty. So if you want to keep us in the fight, we have a plan to stay on air through this bankruptcy. We have a reorganization plan. But if you don't fund us, if you don't buy products at InfoWarsStore.com, we will.
And there's what it's all about right there. If you don't fund us, if you don't buy products, as a defense lawyer, I just want to ask you, how would you feel if when you got this was literally done within hours of Alex leaving the courthouse and posted his website?
This was the first Alex Jones video I have ever seen.
which I love. Once again, because it's not like anything that you would say tonight would be coming from a point of years of bias.
No, this is all fresh eyes.
And I am not doing this show to disparage Alex Jones. What I am doing this to do is to literally demystify what he's saying here and to call it out and be like, I'm sorry, there's a reason why the judge kept referring to you as guilty, Alex. It's because you have been found guilty.
I just thought this video was very cringy, and it was hard to stomach, and mainly because I don't know who his followers are, and I don't know what his work looks like up to this point, but he got himself in some hot water. He was found, they found against him, and now he's asking for more money. It's almost like a TV evangelist.
That's quite literally what I have akined it to is when Jimmy Swaggart got caught. And I had families that were deep, deep Southern Christian, Jimmy Swaggart, 700 Club every day people. and boy howdy, he's just a flawed man. It's like, wow. And when you find out that it's that extensive, when you once again find out, like it said in the Independent article, $11,000 a day into a shell company after he was found liable in 2021.
Yeah.
And that's just, he was found liable for these things in 2021, which in civil court is the equivalent of guilty. You're guilty of it. I don't know how it wasn't slander, and I don't know how it wasn't libel, being as that he had actual, articles to the effect on his website. So the fact that it was just defamation, he's very lucky for.
Well, you know, and that's one thing he says in that video is that he needs the funding from his audience so that he can continue to fight for people's First Amendment rights. But what he did was a lot of damage, because what he was expressing, you know, these falsities, he says he owns it. He didn't do it intentionally. Well, that's not what the verdict was. But when he's out there saying falsities and with reckless disregard, you know, and it's kind of funny because this is the second time you and I have talked about a defamation suit on your show.
Yeah.
But because I was late to this game, I just now realized all of this, but what these parents went through. I mean, I'm a mama bear. I'm very maternal. I can't even imagine losing a child, but to lose a child in a massacre and then to have a radio or a podcast host spread falsities that are believed by people who turn around and harass me or threaten me or make my life so much more uncomfortable on the heels of losing a child that I have to pick up and move or take other precautions for my safety, that just adds a whole nother level of pain and suffering on top of the original pain and suffering.
Yeah, when you've done nothing, that you literally have to start taking precautions in your own personal life because of somebody's fans, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I make no calls to action on this show other than contact your senator. Contact your congressman. Go get a lawyer.
But these victims were re-victimized. Mm-hmm. And there was no reason for it. So it was completely unnecessary.
Why would it be, just out of curiosity, why would it be that he is actively allowed to go make such a video after leaving court? And why would it be that he is actively allowed to have like 3-4 cameras in court recording everything to monetize it later?
Well, a couple of things.
That to me would be adding even more pain and suffering onto the parents whose likeness you're going to be using in your documentary or footage or reports. He literally called the father slow and on the spectrum in a report that he did after he went and testified and apologized. Like I told you before the show started, he actively, after that apology, invited the parents onto his show to come like promote their anti-gun campaign, things like that. And it's like, wow. Do you think they will let you monetize their misery some more?
Right. And to be a fly on the wall for that conversation, because all we heard was his account of what happened. But to answer your question, two things. One, usually there is a court order in place when they allow cameras to film any part of a trial. And there's usually one news feed, and then that branches off to the other cameras or stations, right? So as far as being able to have the cameras in the courtroom, that is completely up to the judge and her order and how she wants to conduct business in her courtroom. As far as filming that crazy video afterwards, I would not be surprised if he doesn't get sanctioned for that. So we'll have to see how that plays out, but it wouldn't have been my advice as his attorney.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been like, hey, you know, maybe take the week or so off. You know,
exactly.
Let Owen cover some things. Let them do stuff. You need to not be in the public eye.
Exactly. Let the dust settle.
Yeah. And that's the optics. And, you know, it is one of those situations, as I have said in interviews and even on this show, like I wish the guy no ill will, but he will not be told no.
No. And then, you know, the other thing is when you first made me aware of this case is when you sent me the link to the video footage where he was on the stand and the plaintiff's attorney caught him in a little bit of a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that was definitely that aha moment that as even Alex referred to it. Oh, well, I guess you have your Perry Mason moment. But yeah, apparently the lawyer, the defense attorney about 12 days before, shared an unadulterated copy of Alex's phone and email and text records with the court. Right now, that has been subpoenaed by not only our second guest after the break, Alex's former wife, but the January 6th committee is asking for it. We'll see what comes of that. Once again, as you said before the show, I don't know why that would happen. To me, it's only the fact of discovery has to happen. And you can either tell Alex, hey, man, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to give all of this to them. Like, we're going to have to. And then he would probably try to fire you. And then he would go to another lawyer and they go, well, you know that we have to give all of this to them, right? So I'm of the mind and opinion. This is once again my opinion, folks, that the lawyer came across all of it and was like, oh, my God, he did actually say this stuff. And just released it as discovery.
You know, and the way it came across,
amongst all of it, that they wouldn't go through it or what have you.
Maybe you're right. The way it came across to me was that it was inadvertent, that it was done by mistake.
Yeah.
And not intentional, which to me would mean that either a paralegal accidentally sent it, or if it came from the lawyer's email address, that maybe he just sent it.
What would be the actions against the lawyer if it came out that those existed, though, and that they were never released? I mean, that would be like disbarment, right?
He'd be in hot water for sure. But, you know, what I don't understand is how. So Alex apparently is on the stand, told about these text messages that the plaintiff's counsel has that his attorney gave him 12 days before. And it's all news to Alex. He's completely surprised, had no idea. And then apparently, according to some of the articles, his attorney said he didn't even know that this had happened until that day. And then the plaintiff's attorney says, yes, you did know. You acknowledged it in an email to the court. So I don't know how this could have happened 12 days before without the client knowing.
Yeah, and even right here, out of Reuters, Alex Jones' lawyer could face legal consequences for phone records release, say experts. So we'll see what happens from that. Once again, I don't really see how it's an issue, because he would have to give it all up for discovery anyway if he knew that there was something in there. You're not legally allowed to hide that.
The legal measure would be, would it have changed the verdict if it didn't happen? I don't think that it would have in this case. So I don't necessarily think that he's going to be successful on like a malpractice claim against his lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's just it. And even, you know, he's talked about, even the Supreme Court went through and denied his appeal in the Sandy Hook shooting case April last year. He went through and tried to appeal that with the U.S. Supreme Court, and they denied him his appeal. So, I'm pretty sure whatever there is going to stick now. Maybe the amount might change or flex or something like that. But that video was just a prime example of how he takes a fact and spins it, and he's great at it. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic at it. But it just blows my mind that he was allowed to make those videos, that there was no active gag order put on him. Now, was what he did within his realm of First Amendment right, JL?
No, when you're communicating a false statement or a false idea, and you have this reckless disregard about the falsity of that statement, and you cause harm or damage, that is defamation. And that is why he ended up with these parents suing him, because he's out there communicating to a large audience, apparently, except for me, falsities that he had not, in my opinion, he, at that level, with that audience, he should have been doing his research. And if he really, truly yeah. believed that this was the case, then, I just can't even imagine. But with reckless disregard, not doing his homework, and then to victimize these victims the way that he did because of his comments to his audience, that is why he got sued for defamation. That yeah. is not protected by his First Amendment.
Yeah, precisely. And he left his First Amendment when he continued to push the paradigm and push the story, which he knew was not the case by that point, leading to the ultimate issues with those poor families, as well as our guest coming up after the break, his family, the rabbit hole that it has led her life down is just
right
insane. And I come from, like, I remember the note on my last child support check, things like that. I won't say it, but it was one of those that was like, really, Dad? Really? Like, okay, dude. I guess to me, not only is that, I've never really seen, I guess I've seen things totally against the First Amendment with Alex previously, where I know that just about anybody that came in the studio signed an NDA. He couldn't even obey his own NDA. He said my name live on the air, which was never supposed to happen according to our NDAs. So,
wow.
Which are all null and void now. It's 10 years. He threatened a reporter that did some work for my show that he wouldn't get any more freelance work if he did anything more with us. That was after the last time Kelly was on, after he was found guilty. He has censured his ex-wife and being able to speak publicly about their divorce trial. I know even Millennial Millie lost her job. She got arrested, got bailed out. Her documentary came out. Started talking about Roger Stone being attached to all the money moving and stuff like that. And Alex and he are friends. Oddly enough, she got fired right after that.
And you sent me an article about him sending an intimate picture of his wife to Roger Stone.
Who has come out and said that she is more than upset and had no idea that the picture was sent.
Yeah, well, in Texas law, that's a felony.
Yes. Yes, it is. Once again, not to disparage the man. I'm not trying to disparage the man. It's talking about what led up to the case and what the case is all about and what actively happened in it. Now, in our last couple minutes here, JL, because I don't want to keep you too long. And I definitely don't want to dwell on this because it's one of those, like, once again, the judge kept saying I'm guilty. Would it normally be a case where in the restitution phase that you would be allowed to present evidence?
Well, because I practice criminal defense and not civil law, I don't think that I can really speak as an expert on that part. I would presume that this judge running this courtroom knows, what his rights are and that she wouldn't put herself in a situation that's going to grant him a new trial. But one thing that you and I did talk about was whether or not he had subjected himself to possibly being prosecuted for perjury, related to the testimony on the text messages. And, I think legally, technically, there could possibly be a perjury charge if the district attorney's office wanted to go back and review the transcripts and the facts. But in the big picture, two things. One, we're all backed up in the criminal dockets right now from COVID, and we're certainly not trying to create more work for ourselves, right? But also because Travis County is politically a more liberal County, and he is, I guess, a more conservative podcast, host. So you definitely wouldn't want it to look like we rarely ever bring these types of charges, rarely prosecute anybody for perjury under these circumstances, but we're going to do it in this circumstance. It would almost look like it was kind of politically driven, and that's not a good look.
Yeah, yeah. And, I don't think any of this was politically motivated as much as Alex tries to make it seem so in his videos. I don't think any of it was politically motivated, honestly.
No.
It really seems like it's just a case of they fully filed suit and are right to do so.
Well, and I think more than anything, it was because not only the extreme pain, unnecessary pain that he brought on these families who are already suffering such a tremendous loss, unbelievable loss. But if you're going to continue to have that sort of behavior, somebody has to stop it. Somebody has to say enough is enough, and we're going to make it painful for you so that you'll change your ways.
Yeah. Precisely, precisely. And I mean, I don't think that the forensic evaluator helped the case a whole lot when he came forth and showed that, yeah, Alex had been putting money into a shell company after the Sandy Hook decisions came through a year ago. Stuff like that, you know, once the cell phone documents came out, and it showed that there were days that he was bragging that he made, you know, $4 or $5 million a week in supplement sales, all that kind of stuff. And once again, folks, that was $4.2 million in the first verdict. And then added to that was the second verdict, which came to a total of $45.2 million in punitive damages.
And then that, of course, will get reduced to $750,000 per plaintiff, or $1.5 million because it's a tort reform.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a little disappointing to see that that it gets reduced so harshly, but at the same time, I think that the wallop of the hammer on that number should drive a point home of what could have happened, you know? And granted, that's just the punitive damages. There's still the $4.2 million from the other, from the defamation itself. So,
and the Judge Gamble, I like one of the quotes that she said about that cap being placed on the punitive damages. She said, you know, we say we trust our juries, but then we make laws that basically say we don't trust our juries.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's pretty strange to say the least, to know that, like, a judgment can come out and then regardless it is rendered to be less, you know?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's been quite entertaining. I don't know how I have made it this long in my life without knowing who Alex Jones was, all hate.
Welcome to the merry-go-round, hun. I'll send you articles. He's out there regularly with such things. And, you know, once again, folks, I'm not going to say that Alex didn't have his moments. I'm not going to say that he didn't get footage of Bohemian Grove and the cremation of Care. We'll hear about that from his former wife here in just a few minutes. Those things absolutely happened, sure, but you have to wonder how much exaggeration happened amongst that, how much other extrapolation happened. And that is the one thing that I will always tell people. And it came out in part of his divorce hearing from his lawyer that, you know, what he does is an act. He's like a character role player whenever he steps behind the microphone. Like a character actor. And what he does is he reads the news, he puts it through the lens of history and extrapolates to the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario could be that what you're seeing right now is fake. All that kind of stuff. It's a false flag. You have to be careful. You have to be careful when you say things like that. You have to be careful when you listen to things like that, when you listen to them regularly, you know, because yeah. And like I said, I loved the fact, JL, that you came to this show tonight. Blank slate.
Yeah.
You came with no predisposed notions, no preconceived notions, no, oh my God, man, my sister's been following him for 20 years. I can't stand that guy. None of that. None of it. Yeah. So, to know that this is still the feeling that you got after everything, even from a legal point of view, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on to talk about these things. What do you think his odds are of seeing any charges from perjury, or that his lawyer might see any charges against him?
I don't think those are high odds.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I think Travis County has their hands full, just like the rest of the Texas counties, in just getting the backlog from COVID handled. And, you know, I think he's kind of getting his own consequences as it is, and I don't think that a malpractice suit against his attorney would survive either. So
yeah.
I think Alex Jones needs to maybe find a different hobby or get a little quiet for a while, reevaluate, and I don't know. I think that he might get tired of paying for lawyers.
At some point he might. And the unfortunate thing is, JL, I understand the mind and the heart of the true believer, whether it comes to religion, whether it comes to politics. But just because you're a true believer doesn't mean you shouldn't require evidence.
Right.
You know, doesn't mean that you shouldn't still have a limit to which a blind faith goes. So I don't want to disparage him. I don't want to disparage his audience. A lot of his audience is my audience, you know? And I just hate to see somebody that at one point was on the road of right and good and actively covering things, to go to the point of this, see numbers. 'Cause it was shortly after that, that like YouTube came to him about monetization, stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, you even have to wonder, like, where's YouTube and all this thing? Like, they were bumping his Sandy Hook videos up to the top of lists algorithmically and pushing them and making money off of them. Where are they in all of this action? Hint, lawyers.
I know you might have just started another lawsuit.
Well, I mean, literally, where is their culpability inside of it? Because, yeah, he was deplatformed, but until that point, he was one of the mainstays and examples of monetization on things like YouTube, you know?
Right.
So, we have to be careful how we filter information. We definitely have to be careful. With that beautiful First Amendment right, and we have to remember exactly what it is used for, and I have that up on screen right now. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble or to petition the government for a redress of grievances. None of that applies to this situation, not when you have caused the misery that you have, not when your actions and your words are directly responsible for that. So thank you so much for coming on, discussing this. Really,
thank you for having me.
Anytime, JL. Before we let you go, of course, it's up on screen, but let everybody know where they can go to get in touch with JL Carpenter, where they can go to find you for representation. Do I understand it correctly that you're going to be coming up to this direction with an office soon?
That is true. Travis County is going to be added to our geographical location. So, jlcarpenterlaw.com, 713-201-6767. Travis County, Harris County, and all of the contiguous counties, Galveston, Fort Bend County, and Brazoria.
Well, JL, thank you so much, as always, for your time. I greatly appreciate it. I greatly appreciate you coming on and talking about this really hot touchstone topic right now, because it's something that it's a polarizing thing, you know. And once again, I wanted to come on and legally demystify the court case, legally demystify that stuff and the things that he was in his video accusing the court of, literally. So thank you once again, as always, for coming on.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Well, such a great interview as always, folks. While you are online checking everything from JL out over at JL Carpenter Law, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is the website. That's where you can find all the episodes. We are going to hit commercial break real quick. And when we come back, we will have a 2-hour long pre-recorded discussion with the former spouse of Alex Jones, the woman who has literally, next to the Sandy Hook families and children, probably suffered the most next to his children at the hands and mouth of Alex Jones. She has been disparaged live on his show during their court trials. She has been bound and gagged from talking about them publicly, all kinds of stuff. We'll be talking with her to get a little bit of behind the scenes, Alex, and how Alex came to be the Alex that we know, from a local public TV personality to the national media powerhouse of conspiracy and right-wing theories. We will be getting into that and so much more right after this break, folks. With the rise in attention to the health benefits of cannabis and cannabinoids, including CBD, True Hemp Science has become one of the premier providers of full-spectrum CBD and CBD-related products. Using a proprietary spigeric process, True Hemp Science extracts maximum benefit from the whole hemp plant. Buds, leaves, stems, seeds, even roots. Every part of the plant is used and then reused to formulate a rich, complex profile of CBD, CBD derivatives, and terpenes guaranteed to provide the relief and benefits you need daily. Visit TrueHempScience.com to experience the best CBD oils, edibles, and topicals on the market today. And use code CURIOUS7 to save 7%. Off your entire purchase of $50 or more and get 2 25-milligram CBD cookies or brownies free. That website again is TrueHempScience.com and the code is CURIOUS7. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun,
Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultational workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code CURIOUS20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. Curious Realm Podcast is your source for the latest and greatest news and events in the world of the paranormal, esoteric, and forbidden knowledge. And there's no better way to spark the conversation than with items from the Curious Realm store. Choose from fan favorites like hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs, and more. Buy books and items from your favorite Curious Realm guests. Get your hands on the latest gear for paranormal investigations and experiments we discuss on the show. Open your web browser and stop on by the Curious Realm store at CuriousRealm.com/store to buy the latest Curious Realm wear and out-of-this-world gifts for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is CuriousRealm.com/store. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors, as always. Make sure to stop on by the websites of True Hemp Science. They are located right here in Austin, Texas. They are the home of some of the best CBD that you will ever get, made with a true spigeric process, folks, that uses every part of the plant, from the seeds and roots to the leaves, the buds, the stems, everything. Stop on by, check them out. TrueHemScience.com is the website. Also, thank you so much to our continuing guest and friend, as well as sponsor, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. Her website is thesecrettoeverything.com. She is your source for alternative health, frequency healing, and consciousness expansion exercises. Also, of course, WebWorks Wireless. We cannot forget them. They are your home for no data limits, no throttling, no credit checks, and wireless internet anywhere that you have a cell phone signal. I'm here to tell you, folks, I put up about 20 gigs of content a month through my WebWorks wireless system. Anytime that you are tuned in on our website, our app, or tuned in to our Facebook feeds and YouTube streams while we are out live on location, those are all brought to you through the WebWorks wireless system. Amazing quality, amazing signal strength. Stop on by and check them out. WebWorksWireless.com is the website. Of course, our website, CuriousRealm.com, is where you can go to find all of our episodes. That's where you can go to follow us on social media and all these groovy platforms over here, even all the alternatives. You know, we're on Gab and Minds, Clout Hub, BitChute, Rumble, all that good stuff. And also, don't forget the new album specifically for targeted individuals available on our music page, CuriousRealm.com/music. And of course, while you are checking all of those great sites out, make sure to stop on by the website for our guest for this segment, Kelly Jones, where activism is empowerment. This is KellyJones.com is the website. Kelly Jones has a pretty famous ex, actually, Alex Jones, who has recently been
in the media here in Austin, Texas, with his recent trial against the Sandy Hook parents and their defamation case. We just got done talking about that. And I wanted to bring Kelly on specifically to talk about the other victims, because, of course, the Sandy Hook families, the parents, the children were victims in the first place. Then they were victims at the hands of misinformation and continued misinformation by Alex Jones. But a lot of people don't realize the other wake that was left behind. And it's that of Alex's family. And that's kind of what I wanted to get into tonight, is to humanize that end. Most of the time, whenever Alex is mentioned in the media, people contact Kelly and they go into InfoWars and its founding and how she was involved with InfoWars. And it's like, yo, man, that's like my wife who does booking for my business. You know, that's like being angry at the wife of Richard M. Nixon because of Watergate. She didn't order Watergate. She didn't do any of that madness. Why are you angry at her? So I wanted to have Kelly on to talk about how this court trial, how this ongoing issue over the last decade has affected her life, affected her family, how the media frenzy for this has affected her life and her family. So welcome back to the show, Kelly Jones. How are you doing?
Hi, Chris. I'm grateful and glad to be here with you. And I look forward to checking out some of those great sponsors. You know, I live out in a pretty urban area. And what is your wireless internet sponsor? They sound fantastic.
WebWorks Wireless. They are pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to check those guys out. But yeah, I'm grateful and glad to be here. Kind of a broad question, and I appreciate your softening sort of the vitriol that I met with when people find out I'm Alex's ex-wife. I've been out raising the red flag, you know, for years and years.
Yeah.
And I truly did lose my kids for many years and in different ways over years of time for, you know, blowing the whistle on InfoWars. But I think here's the thing that people don't understand. And so, yes. I mean, I did, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, for Alex after I helped the star rise. My background's in grassroots publicity from a time when we didn't have social media. And I actually was looking at the internet today. I mean, I was his one woman workhorse and really not under any joyous occasion in doing not without. And I'm laughing, but it was really, really hard. And I feel like he glommed on to me. And then, you know, what's interesting about the Sandy Hook trial and what's going on now in bankruptcy court is he's reiterating a fraud that he did in our marriage, during our divorce, while he hid assets like he did with his parents, like he's been shown to have done or questioned about doing in a petition that was recently filed by the Sandy Hook parents, which is really that, you know, basically I'm a piece of whatever and a Looney Tune, which I'm not, that, you know, coupled in that litigation, which was the litigation that divided our property, you know, that I had never done anything. That is just not true. Yeah. And Alex was not some great mastermind that rose himself up from father's knows best and his, you know, Willie Nelson wannabe, like, pseudo persona of his father, who is a really, nefarious person who I trusted. You know, that is just not the case. And so, you know, I'm okay. Like, What I think it really is, Chris, at the base of all of it, and I'm very happy to talk about, not happy, but I'm very able to talk about, this Sandy Hook litigation because I have a unique experience that I've also seen reiterated in that case with Alex suing me for years and years and years and using every devious tactic and perjury and fraud to push his agenda, which he did before America. So, you asked me about how it's impacted my family. this, Alex Jones has impacted, like, what happened in my divorce really has impacted the whole world. Because what happened in my divorce is when I, and it was the property division. Okay, so people need to, I had this discussion with somebody like yesterday and I got very mad. I think that was when we spoke and you were so patient with me. But for some reason, because I was married to him and because I'm a woman, people, you know, are not able to see me as what I was technically in a business partnership that we formalized. And this was in 2007. So the Wikipedia page is suspectly, you know, like wrong about when I was married to Alex. I actually married Alex on February 2nd, 2002, like 2202, Groundhog Day, which if it were, you know, the thing where it repeats over and over again, I feel like I'm in it.
You couldn't be, you couldn't be more apropos to your situation.
Yes. I know. It's ironic, right?
Wow.
Like, and I love what we talked about yesterday too, because I'm a person of faith, but wait, the way I look at things that we were talking about your sort of transition into, like remote viewing discussion and all of these interesting things that really fascinate me. But the way I look at it now, like I think, so we're talking about the law and all law is a philosophy that's based on human thought. And so, and that all of this, sort of like, the way that our world has become fettered and broken and in many ways terrifying because of also like the schemes, the conspiracies of people to, you know, I believe, and I think I'm going to show it here in a second, but not on your show necessarily, but I think people will see it, you know, to take control of something, you know, defraud somebody of something and then use it nefariously to cause a transition from what had been, which he did somewhat not entirely accurately describe in his testimony. And it was like, there's some other questionable stuff like about that. But what had been, the guy I spoke to yesterday talked about, he was just like against like, big authority and big government, basically.
Well, like I have said numerous times on this show, and I've told you in private conversation, I've told people for documentaries. When I first became aware of Alex Jones, this dude was in my backyard. I am from Houston, Texas. When I first heard of Alex Jones, it was after the video of Cremation of Care came out. And he was on Coast to Coast with Art Bell talking about Bohemian Grove and infiltrating Bohemian Grove. That was when I first heard of Alex Jones. I had heard about him since. I don't think it was until I moved here that I realized he had his own website, all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, I had heard him on shows and stuff like that, but never realized he was.
Right.
And granted, you know, once again, it takes, and not that that wasn't some amazing video, not that that wasn't great, but to go from that point and talking about things like Bohemian Grove, talking about things like Bilderberg Group, talking about things like New World Order, and the UN takeover and, you know, Agenda 21, things like that, to becoming a political pundit, to becoming, the only way that I have explained it is it's a cult of personality that builds.
It's a cult for sure. I mean, I think it's both, right? Like, and it is a cult of personality.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
it gets, it gets to the point where, unfortunately, if you don't backwalk something real quick, it's your truth now. And you better hold on to it. And that's the situation he walked into, that he that's just kind of him. Nobody's going to tell him no.
Right. Well, you know, he's the thing about Alex and the thing that I've said all along. So everybody like, I understand, like, it's unconscionable, his behavior. I'm appalled, you know, just to reiterate, like, the pre-divorce InfoWars and, you know, the part of the InfoWars that I was hands-on involved in as his producer, as his person who got him on the wire, the AT wire for the first time, who got Charlton Heston and Buzz Aldrin and all these people and had the ability from my publicity background to bring this forward and get coverage on that, right? You know, that was a very different thing. And it was absolutely not like Trump TV. So that's an interesting sort of segue. And it absolutely coincided with my divorce and the hidden, you know, entities that were created that I did not want to create. That was a supplement line. And then the transmogrification from what had been originally when I was, you know, first involved and often embarrassed thereafter, after I became pregnant in 2002 and married for that reason, you know, transmogrified over time, but there was no partisan, like it was always like two sides of the same coin, libertarian.
Yeah.
There was plenty of stuff that I really identified with, like about, it was the Patriot Act and when we were losing more and more of our freedoms. Like that rang true with me and it still does.
Actual,
you know?
Things.
Actual things. I mean, yeah, but a lot of it doesn't. Like when I look back on some of the stuff that I was involved in, you know, I met Alex at a very hard time. Mm-hmm. I moved back to Austin. My best friend was in hospice dying of AIDS and I was vulnerable. We had the same producer. You know, I at Access TV and then I was hired by them to do their PR and have a show by the three stations, Austin Community Access Television and, but, you know, it's hot and heavy, narcissistic abuse cycle. And at that point, it's like not the bad very much at all, right? But there's red flags that you ignore or you're just naive. And I mean, it was weird because I had very healthy relationships before. So it's like, you know, you don't think that you can get sucked into this. And then I had like, I took over my friend's place and, had my air conditioner gave out and he said, well, don't pay the rent and move in with me. And I was like, that's really not what I want to do. But I did it because he pressured and pressured. And then once the door was shut to that house that I moved into with him, the door was shut forever. And I'd already like, all my friends were terrible. You can't talk to anybody. You've got to help me. And I worked constantly, like, you know, 10, 12 plus hours a day. I actually got on the Wayback Machine and I saw that, as I remembered, like I updated the website that I created, which looks horrible. Like it really does. But back then I was trying to compare it to some other, you know, people. I was looking at like, I couldn't even get Rush Limbaugh's site to come up, but I found like, I'm trying to remember who it was, like Neil Bortz or something. And it was a table based internet, you know, it was all HTML based. And
yeah.
I took a class so I could code and I built this thing and then it changed over time. But yeah, the day of the birth of my first two kids, I updated the site. I was forced to do it. I had C-section. My son.
There was breaking news.
You know, my son was like an emergency C-section. So that'll tell people a little bit about how much I had to work. I don't really know where I had gone with all of this, but, with regard to the Sandy Hook litigation and this horrible, terrible, you know, ongoing, very divisive discourse, I had said something about how, you know, really we're dealing in the realm of thought and we're dealing with legal things. I like to think of, I'm a layperson, but I've had to represent myself in state and federal court and I have prevailed on motions in both venues and I'm probably going to have to be in both again soon. Self-represented if I can't get some, you know, I'm doing my best to survive, but Alex owes me years and years of past due child support. I mean, just child support.
Yeah.
And it's his portion of medical bills and things like that. It's not like, you know, I get $2,000 a month that I was only ordered to receive last June. I never got child support before that. I've paid, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars myself in child support and for costs and fees and litigation, you know, that he's pursued fraudulently millions and millions of dollars. So he's really like, I think people should really watch what's going on with me, which I'm going to sort of try to, you know, I'm going to have to like take a break to do from being on Twitter so much. My Twitter handle is at Real Kelly Jones, Real Kelly Jones, if anybody wants to check it out. But, you know, the law I like to think of, like the way I see it in many ways, and I think it's not an irrelevant, like sort of analogy or metaphor or something. It's like a giant Dungeons and Dragons game. It's like some sort of like, and I don't play Dungeons and Dragons, so I'm speculating about that, but it's kind of like, you know, if you can do this in this forest, if you have this hat, but if somebody else is wearing a different hat on a different day, then you cannot be in the forest unless you have this wand. Like, it's just so like that. And then, by the way, if somebody else was able to get into the forest anyhow, and somebody else said this, then you can, unless somebody else said that what that other person said was not true. And then while you're doing that, you've got to follow these very specific rules of the way you wear your hat and get your evidence in and this and that and the other. So I think of it like the law, and we're talking about, I'm bringing it back, or I'm trying to, Chris, trying to make this make sense about why, like, our conversation yesterday about your work with Curiosity Realm, really, like, I was like, oh my gosh, remote viewing. Because, and we can go there and you can reiterate, you know, like share, or I can, that you said that these people that were doing this remote viewing are like physicists, right? Yeah. And yeah. So my thought, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on around me that I don't know? You know, ironically, before I was married to Alex and I cast alone, I was in Richard Linklater's Waking Life, where that was about astral, I guess, sleep time, whatever it is. And I just find it also interesting because here's what I think about all of it. I am a person of faith. I've survived this by my faith, and my faith is that of, I follow Christ, who is the God. He is love. God is love. He's not like judgy. He wants you to just be kind to one another. And yes, you know, abide by what you can, but he forgives us for everything, right? So that's my faith, and it's got me through, and I know he's with me. And so that's the faith I share. Everybody can have their own faith, but whatever your faith may be, you know, this is, you know, we're looking at a time in our world history where we're seeing against the rise of serious authoritarian attempts at overthrow, not only of our national government, but the rise of extremism, this want to really segue us into a serious, like, you know, the 1984 that Alex always said he was against. You know, we're looking at dystopia here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my watch.
And into a true us versus them mentality.
Exactly. And what is that, Chris? I mean, it's really just, it's like the realm of good and evil in whatever context you believe it in, right? And so when I'm talking about the law and how it's used and how everything is like sort of working, and we are just, you know, we're creatures in a spiritual world, as the police said many, many years ago, right? The stuff that's swirling around us, and like this litigation that's going on right now, and the propaganda that's going on right now around it, the Sandy Hook litigation, where he's deceiving his audience. First of all, about free speech. You're speaking to the woman who actually has a government, you know, has been punished for exercising her free speech through a court of law by the government, which is. Word applies.
And I want to address that real quick. On screen, I have the Yahoo News article about Alex bizarrely declares victory for truth after being ordered to pay $4.1 million in damages. And then right here is his video about.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is from his website. And even to hear it.
You're pulling it out.
$1 billion. The jury came in.
The 10 of you who signed it.
Here we go.
It's of the court.
So,
the Democratic Party, the entire corporate media, lined up against InfoWars and the American people's free speech. The judge, more than 20 times in the last week and a half in Austin, Texas, told the jury while I was there in the courtroom, and it was on national TV, that Alex Jones is guilty.
Okay, now at that point,
oh
I'm
my
gonna,
gosh.
I'm gonna pause it. I'm gonna pause it because this is how
can I break that down?
This yeah. is how he twists it, folks.
Okay, well,
this is not an innocent versus guilt, let's provide evidence to the contrary situation. This is a punitive damages hearing. Alex, once again on screen, here it is, from the Hill, October 21st, 2021. Alex Jones found libel in 2 Sandy Hook cases. Alex Jones guilty right. in all 4 Sandy Hook cases. The judge was saying you are guilty and reminding the jury, don't forget, he is guilty.
Okay,
that is her
so
right
wanna...
to do. Because you're
well,
guilty,
you know...
dude. This wasn't a let's see if Alex is innocent situation. You were found guilty a year ago. A year ago, when
right.
you were on my show last, Kelly, he was found guilty. So there's no question
okay.
about his guilt or innocence. And that's just it.
Well,
he will twist those words and twist it all day long to seem as though he is the one being prosecuted. And he is the one whose First Amendment right has been revoked or taken away. No, dude, you abused
correct.
Your First Amendment right. You lied. Then when questioned on it, you lied again. Then you insisted your lie was the truth. And you profited okay. by millions on your lies and made people's lives miserable because of it. So
right
you, don't
on.
Get to, you don't get to get away with that. You don't get to hide behind the First Amendment because of that. Numerous times he was reminded by the prosecution in court. Don't forget, you can take the Fifth.
Okay. And I want to go ahead and, yeah, well,
so,
I want to, yes, he was Chris. I want to opine because I really think that we need to not bolster his fraudulent proclamations of being found guilty. So guilt, and the judge instructed him to this.
Yeah.
The term guilty is a criminal term.
Yes.
Alex was not in criminal court. But yes, I mean, I understand that as, you know, yes, he's guilty of doing terrible things. But really what happened is he was found liable.
Yeah.
So he was sued by the Sandy Hook parents, Neil Hussle and Scarlett Lewis, who lost their beautiful son, Jesse Lewis, when he was 6 years old. He was gunned yeah. down and the most abhorrent, horrible things happened to them. And they were really used to, you know, Alex would say these things to fund his horrible fraudulent discourse, like just what you said, which is really deceptive trade. So yeah. I wanted to bring that back just to say this is a liability issue. He was in civil court. We
yep.
have 2 court systems, civil and criminal. And they talk about that at the opening, like the burden of proof is different.
Yep.
And what
and
happened?
He's really lucky that it was defamation, not libel and slander, because it was imprinted on air.
Well, that's right. And I, you know, not only that, but when you publish stuff on your website, that is libel.
Yeah.
The point is, like, they issued a proper correction retraction demand. What's ironic is that he sued me just about at the exact same time.
Yep.
And although he's obviously a person who engages in a course of conduct of lies and fraud, it didn't matter. Like, I lost my kids after I prevailed in trial by jury.
Yeah.
And I lost them because he went on InfoWars with his attorneys to defame me. And I had to speak up. I was getting death
yep.
threats. I was just totally lied about and made out to be some sort of crazy person, drug addict. And none of that is true.
Yeah.
And they used it by bolstering it with this alleged expert who was ordered to be exempted from the license the rules that govern her license. Like, everything that's happened in my case is, those are crimes, I believe, you know?
Oh,
you cannot exempt somebody from the rules of their licensure. You cannot, the other one was ordered to destroy her records. That violates state law and federal law, HIPAA law. Like, so I just have a lot of accusation all over me, but when I spoke out publicly against that defamation by his own attorney, okay? So they went on air, that's a trial publicity violation. And you're not allowed to go on air. The Texas attorneys are governed by the Texas rules of disciplinary professional procedure. And so when they went on there, they violated Rule 3.02. And you're not allowed to say anything while trials and hearings are pending because you don't want to do anything that's material to impact the impartiality of the judiciary. You don't want to create bias. Well, they surely did. And they not only said, you know, praise the judge and told her how she would rule, she ruled exactly that way. And it's just like a huge violation. And the Texas State Bar does nothing. Nobody will help. And here's my other main point. And with regard to liability, just really quickly, Chris, obviously he had years and years and years to answer discovery. And he did not comply.
Yep.
We have a civil system that disallows trial by ambush. We have a discovery process. It is probably the most taxing and complicated, but most necessary sort of phase in litigation. And you have 30 days to answer, 30 days.
Yep.
And he did not answer for years. And then when he did answer, he sent things like child porn or non-responsive answers. And then, of course, we have the revelation that although he said he didn't text about Sandy Hook, and this was the big, they say, you know, Perry Mason moment. I think it's important. Yeah, I don't want to, I mean, I know you want to, like, I'm not trying to take over the floor here too much, but, you know, civil litigation, thank you. Civil litigation doesn't really have that many smoking gun Perry Mason moments because we have discovery. And so what happens, and how this came out, so you see that people go on direct exam, right? And once they say something, so the audience probably heard people talking about impeachment, which I didn't know until I was in the litigation process. You can bring evidence in that impeaches, you know, the witness, which happened over and over again, by the way, in that courtroom. But, you know, when he said he hadn't sent any, you know, wasn't discussing Sandy Hook or whatever the thing was that brought this phone data in, they were like, I'm sorry. And what happened was his attorneys or somebody in their firm accidentally CC'd the other firm and did not realize their mistake. And because they had made that error, I mean, the cat's out of the bag. And particularly because there's a crime fraud exemption to privilege. So, like, attorneys cannot assist their clients to crime and fraud. And if they find out about it, it breaks privilege. They have to show it. And so, you know, that happened there. But that's how Alex rolls. I mean, you were talking about his clip, Chris. You know, the real deception there, you know, first of all, is that, you know, the judge was saying he's guilty, guilty, guilty. Like, he got on the air and tried to reiterate the same trial publicity violation to impact the judge and terrify her. Like, behind the scenes over here at my house, I was actually sending a lot of information to the court. I sent them the clips of him that day when he was calling her demonically possessed. He was fun of the way he was making fun of the way she looked, and like, she said she was like primping and called her like some sort of like really puerile.
He referred
goblin name.
It the same thing with the Sandy Hook parents. He referred to the father as slow, as on the spectrum, all kinds of things, you know.
Oh my gosh!
And this is just the this is like after he's been on the stand.
Yes, or while, you know,
and I don't know how somebody can have those conversations on air while they are literally in litigation. I don't know how.
Well, I know, and I think with that, America finally got to see what I know is true. And when you're saying somebody's on the spectrum, there's no shame in that. That's an ableist, like, horrible thing to say.
Hey,
like,
Albert
whatever.
Einstein was more than likely on the spectrum.
You know, and I think, I mean, Alex said in trial he thinks he is. And here's my point about that. Alex is not, he's a one-trick pony. He's very charismatic and magnetic and practiced at his skill of being on the air. And he's got a particular kind of ability to con and manipulate people. And he's very good at parsing out pieces of information and just, you know, he's really ready to just compulsively lie. And so, the real problem that America's had with all of this, which is why I'm going to come out and be like, you know, doing what I'm going to do so everybody can just sort of stay tuned, to that, because I'm going to have to write a lot of legal stuff as a layperson, which is not easy. And I have to study a lot, but I'm doing it and I know what's going on. I mean, Alex is truly, truly incapacitated. So when clients have a limited capacity, like, Alex is a sick man. And when I say that, I don't say that so everybody can laugh at him and make fun of him. And it's really hard for me because, you know, first of all, like my faith, like, calls me to forgive him. I forgive him as the human. I don't forgive his behaviors or actions.
Yes.
And particularly when they're reiterated, but I forgive him as a, he is a human being at some point. And he's a sick man who's been taken advantage of by unethical attorneys who have used him to make millions of dollars. And his parents to make millions of dollars, you know, and they're also very disturbed, I believe. That's my personal opinion. And so without, it's not like he had some great legal scheme. Like, this man has no ability. He doesn't even know what people were suing him at his last defamation, at his last deposition. He didn't know what was in an affidavit that was a part of a huge controversy. So he's talking to Rob Jacobson. It's not that. He does not, this man has been in litigation with me that has been as expensive and complicated and as involved as that first Sandy Hook trial, I believe. Close, very close. There's some other elements, no, but he sued me in parallel litigation. So, there have been multiple cases going, just like in the Sandy Hook case now with the bankruptcy attempt to shirk his responsibility, right? Which, you know, my position is my property was stolen and I have offered to give what I can, you know, so as I need to survive and save my home. But like, I want to help the plaintiff by getting involved with this because his attorneys, his family attorneys are not disclosing real fraud. During the trial, we sent undisclosed assets were testified about that were not disclosed during my divorce. I mean, that's just fraud on the community. It's like a family law 101. You don't like hide money and create secret things to move money when you're divorcing your spouse. And you don't get to get all the corporation that you form together when you're the other person is 51% owner. And yeah, maybe there's some leeway with personal goodwill, but that is fraudulent, right? Because what do we see now? We see that Free Speech Systems has been run into the ground with all of this, you know, dysregulated, unhinged, uncontrolled, truly insane behavior, because he is not well. And his attorneys, including his Sandy Hook defense, and I want to talk about how they misused my kids in that and it, how appalling it is to me after all he's done to them. He presented that he had four children and that this woman, Erica, who assaulted my own child, basically by inference was these four children's mother. When my child right now, he will not pay her child support when he's hovered over our helicopter to terrify us in close airspace. When he's sending her messages, Chris, when she is, my child had a very serious has that she's been through, finally was able to get treatment for it, which he tried to block. Serious, serious physical disability. And he would send her text messages that caused her to fear for her life and permanent handicap. She was like 12 years old kid.
Yeah.
If she like got the treatment that was recommended, or not necessarily that, but was related to vaccination, which, you know, that's another story for another day. And I'm sure everybody has their opinion, but I mean, just the way like, oh, and the worst, like, she has a little sister that's not my child. And he uses this child that my child was with from when she was born because she was ripped away from me at age 6, right? He uses this child to manipulate my child and promise her to her over and over again that she can see her, and then last minute refuses. I mean, it is the kind of brutality and mental abuse that people really cannot understand or fathom, probably. And my kids my two youngest kids have outcried about multiple times over many years about having been forced to lie to protect him, which is a crime. It's like child witness tampering, and it's also coercion of a child, and it's severely abusive. So, I don't know where I was going on a diatribe, but basically he's a sick man.
Honestly, I allowed the diatribe for a reason, Kelly, because once again, there is a public face to a man. There is a public vision that everybody sees, and even even those that are still rabid fans. And I understand their rabid fandom. I get it, you know. But when you find out, and I've got the Independent article right here, Alex Jones began putting $11,000 per day in, quote, shell company after being found liable in Sandy Hook case. Now, at the same time that that case was going on, and they were asking for discovery in a civil case, hey, what are your financials? You were busy in divorce court and in custody court and in family court asking for the exact same information, subpoenaing the exact same information, saying
I should have been, but my attorney failed me in that last case. Like, my attorney didn't even propound discovery. It's unbelievable. But the point is, he's a shady guy.
Yeah.
You know, the real point, I think, is that he presents himself as this family man, you know, mastermind, which he's not. He's not in court and he's not on air. He has to have, you know, he has this battleship, you know, InfoWars Trump broadcast that he thinks he needs. It's a vanity thing, and he needs a lot of attention. He's a sick man, and so he has, you know, he can't write an email, he can't write a message. This was testified to in family court. Like, he has everybody do work that you and I do and just pick up our phone and tap something out, right? He can't do really basic things for himself. He has teams of people around him.
Yes.
And it's not like typical, you know, celebrity, I guess people might say. And you said something about, I understand the rabid fandom. I do not. I mean, people have to actually have a responsibility at this juncture when our nation is so divided and in such danger to see that their, you know, alleged hero with his great, Wizard of Oz, I understand the rabid fandom, you know?
The same way I understand blind faith, Kelly.
Right. I guess so. But he's not, and that's kind of the cult. Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say anything about people's faith or anything like that, folks, but is your faith well-founded enough? You know, do you leave your faith or your practicing religion because of the fallibility of human beings? You know?
I don't practice religion, so I understand faith.
Coming from a Roman Catholic perspective here, I can understand that mentality. Coming from the perspective of somebody who grew up with quite a few very, very hard Bible thumping friends and family, you know, that were swagger followers, stuff like that. You know, that are
right, skills exactly. Like,
he's a flawed man, but he's a man of God, you know?
Right.
And yeah. So
that's the word, isn't it, Chris?
I can get that mentality, sadly, you know, and I pray for folks of that mentality that don't have the logic level to go, okay, but wait a minute. He lied. He perpetuated the lie. He kept lying. Then when asked about the lie, he lied about the lying. Then when asked about his money, because he was found to be lying about the lying, he lied about the money.
And it's really all about the money, isn't it, Chris? And here's the thing about that. Like, you just actually basically made it like being a listener to InfoWars is actually being in a religion.
Well,
and so I think what you say is cult of personality. It's a cult. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, people are completely deceived by a con that is based on absolute deceptive trade. And that, you know, I don't know, you know, and that he's engaging in right now to continue to try and usurp, like, our political discourse. Again, I just want to come back really quickly to the fact, like, free speech is a First Amendment guarantee that is protected from, that protects Americans from having their government deny them the ability to redress grievance, to have protests. It also protects open courts and the right to access. I mean, so Alex has sealed all the family litigation outside the rules of law, outside civil procedure. I've had hearings that have been sealed. I've been denied all kinds of, like, true constitutional, like, rights, like civil rights, due process rights in this litigation. And so he's out there deceiving people about his, what are, like, effectively calling, you know, shouting fire in a busy theater, talking about people whose children were murdered and having, you know, people on over and over again enjoying doing that so he can make money without any apology ever. And no matter what he says, all he had to do was apologize, man. All he could have done years ago, rather than appealing, which is like filing these actions all the way up to the Supreme Court based on a false free speech stance, you know, rather than doing that, he should have apologized years ago and stopped. And boy, I hope his audience did watch, because he said he was going to have Scarlett Lewis on with her Choose Love Foundation, which is about sensible gun control and gun violence. So if his audience was watching, and here's, you know, here's what I speculate that he could do with that. He could go to his audience and say, oh, I was in this kangaroo court, which, by the way, oh, I wanted to say this so badly. The Democratic judges, his attorneys are huge Democrats. His counsel in that case was appointed under Obama, you know, was an Obama appointee. And all the judges that helped Alex in family court were Democrats. So he is out there, you know, playing this partisan, you know, misleading line.
Even despite the partisanship, to call out, and this is just my points of logic here, folks, all right, to say, the liberal court system in America is oppressing my First Amendment right. I don't think so. Not when you have been asked for articles of discovery and you have suppressed them. You are now using court system to your advantage, and you are abusing the court system, not the court system abusing you.
And you're abusing the Constitution, because that's not the First Amendment, Chris.
Like, I know. Hold on. Because he forgets the fact that any person that walks through the front door of free speech systems is going to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
And if you respond to their defamation publicly, he will take your kids.
He will.
And he will put, and he will put you under what are called content-based prior restraint injunctions, which I have imposed on me, which are entirely unconstitutional by all case law. And that is, you cannot say specific things in the future. You cannot talk about these things. Mm. My ex-husband is a public figure who defamed me. I went and I defended myself from being, from gas chamber threats, from, you know, being called, being accused of being the person who tried to take the kids after he got on air and said he never tried to take them, which is all he tried to do, of being a drug addict and alcoholic, I am absolutely not. And you know, and
that, like, that's one reason why I wanted to have you on, because don't get me wrong, open invitation to either of the any of the Sandy Hook parents, family, anything like that, to come on and share their story of literal misery that they have been put through. But the reason I had you on, Kelly, is I think close to anybody else, you're right up there. You have been defamed just as much. You have just as many rabid fans chasing after you and saying things on your Twitter profile and doing stuff like that, you know?
Hard to compare the two. It's hard to compare the two, and
then,
because...
And then people from the other side who dislike Alex Jones coming up to you in the same way and saying, you horrible human being.
Because I was forced into marriage with my abuser.
Where can you win? Once again, it's like being, this is like being angry at the wife of Nixon for Watergate. Like, what's a? I fail to understand the logic from either point of view. Because you have.
Well, and I think it's really interesting, Chris, is that even when I did for Canadian TV in French, I received the same kind of trolling. So I think you've hit on it in some ways, but I think that what it really is that the truth of what I know and the massive white collar crimes that happened. Under cloak of family litigation. So people only see me as this wife, like this woman. I owned majority partnership in free speech system. Yeah. I'm not proud of what it became. And I wasn't proud of it when I agreed to do that, which was on recommendation, on advice of counsel that then went with Alex and his parents to hide money, you know, a few years later, you know, like just prior to the divorce, once he knew I was trying to leave him. By the way, I first filed for divorce in 2004. And so Alex exerted all kinds of manipulations, you know, to keep me in that relationship. And they were terrible. Yeah. I mean, people have no idea. Like, it was horrible. My kids, and you were talking about the Sandy Hook parents. Like, here's my thing.
I remember being told to divert your phone calls.
Oh my gosh.
Straight up.
I mean, just like,
straight up.
The family needed the people at InfoWars too, right? Like, I remember, him making fun of me to people there and of that. It's horrible. Yeah. Horrible. But, you know, I want to talk about, like, your comparison. Like, okay, so first of all, the defamation that, that the Sandy Hook parents experienced, coupled with their unfathomable loss that I cannot even think about. And then the rigors of litigation of having to go expose your private process and talk about how you first saw your murdered child. I can't even, like, my voice breaks. My heart breaks. I get chill bumps. Like, I just can't even fathom. They're so brave and so strong, and they have been steadfast in the worst of circumstances. So I didn't lose my kids, but my kids will never be the same. My kids have experienced permanently injurious, repeat, ongoing, daily, sometimes hourly horrors that entirely decimated their innocence and childhood, that made them physically sick, that caused them injury that I believe that they can use to strengthen themselves from what they've endured, to have tremendous power and joy in whatever way they want to, right? That's their decision. But, you know, yeah, Alex didn't kill my kids, but if you're talking about, like, really destroying somebody's psyche and taking away from them true parts of them, their mother for years and years, every sport they competed in, all, like, everything that was historically theirs and true, and just love, and isolating them in a quasi, you know, it was basically a private foster care system, because he's not a dad in any normal way. Mm. You know, if you want to look at it that way, without, you know, with all respect and heartbreak and support that I continue to try to give the Sandy Hook parents, which I've been out there for years saying this, even before they filed, you know, that with all everything that I can possibly say, and not trying to undermine their grief and horror and what they've endured. And I'm so glad that they got what they got. You know, I want everybody to remember it's the first of many trials. You know, in many ways, Alex was the Adam Lanza in my life. Like, he didn't kill my kids. No, he didn't. But he did kill who they were and who they might have been, is what I think. Now, not saying that they can't still be great, wonderful, and they're amazing kids, and I love them all so much.
Absolutely.
But he really destroyed them. He devastated them. And then while he devastated them, while I was trying to help them, he defamed me before them to the world and to them over and over. He programmed and brainwashed them about me. And I mean, kids need their moms. They're just kids. They're not like, their celebrity, notoriety, being notorious, whatever. Kids are kids. These are just children, you know. Absolutely. Or they were, you know. So that's my position on that.
Same. And it's one of those, I'm the product of a single parent home. I grew up with the norm of divorce. I remember the first time I came home and asked about my buddy Danny, and why his mom and dad lived together. I was like, I was like 6 years old when that first happened. Because the norm for me was divorce, seeing my dad every other weekend. But I also saw my dad just pour through marriages in his life. He was not the best example of somebody to follow, you know, at least not in that way. My father and I have a beautiful relationship now. We talk. We had a great relationship when I was a kid, but there was definitely a long time where I did not understand or get my father. And even now it's the fact of, hey, you know, I understand that my 5-year-old son may go spend a weekend with his granddad, you know, down at the pier, something like that. But I know that there's going to be some light deprogramming, that's going to happen whenever he gets back. You know, it's just, it's one of those, my dad's of an older generation. He's an older country kind of guy. He ain't going to necessarily stop with his slurs. So you got to kind of make a kid understand why that happens, you know, and that it's not okay.
Or you can just put it,
or you know, but I'm not gonna get, much like you said, having that Christian mentality, it's not that you hate Alex. Like, you pray for Alex on a daily basis. You hope that he gets better, you know?
And I write to him frequently to tell him how the malpractice that he's incurring. Yeah. The problem is he's not able to receive any input because, you know, he's a megalomaniac. And
it's the fact of, once again, once you have built your castle on this precipice of truth, once you have built it on the precipice and literally partially built a kingdom on truths that end up not being truths, you can't go back on that. Because if you go back on that, what other truths aren't truths?
Well, isn't that funny, though, Chris? Because what he really tried to do in the Sandy Hook trial is he tried to sell this, you know, long defunct, nonpartisan, and he also stands, and then he also tried to sell, which he was busted on, you know, the everyman stance, right, where he's just going to be broke if you even ding him with $2 million. And meanwhile, on air is making fun or disparaging good working people
revealed that there were weeks that he made $4 million on supplements. He literally got off the stand in his defamation, restitution trial as to what you're going to pay for the defamation that you have been found liable for, and went on, declared victory, said that this was a great victory for freedom. Everything else, we triumphed over the sin, because, you know, I woke up the jury to the truth. And this caused, and I'm not going to play any more of the video because he's gotten enough of my airtime in that, right? But literally went into a pitch. I mean, you could not have gotten more 700 club, hun.
Oh, I know. Well, that's definitely what he's doing.
You gotta go buy supplements. Like, the only way we're going to survive is if you buy supplements.
I mean, Chris, the guy made $8 million in one day last month when the Bitcoin fairy, like, dropped it on him. And it came out he was making as much as $700,000 a day. Okay? And so you're talking, as you know, to the mother of his three kids and his youngest child, the only one who's still a minor. And he will not, I wrote him yesterday even, he will not even send me $500 from the thousands and thousands of dollars that he owes me for child support that I paid completely and that he owes just a percent of, so that I can go buy my child new shoes and a new backpack for her beginning freshman year in high school. Wow. I mean, this kid he's just, He lied to them about his his net worth. He lied to them about that. Oh, very much like real perjury from like Daria Karpova and the so-called corporate representatives that he had to keep
that's
hiring.
Just it.
Why did he have to keep hiring them?
Because
he doesn't know anything about the business. He knows nothing about it.
And the thing is, Kelly, whether or not you subpoenaed any kind of financials, anything like that, spousal support, or even in this case, child support, and the amount of it is decided on your financials. So when you're hiding money, that means you're hiding it from your kid too.
Well, and I get $2,000 a month. So no, it wasn't even based on his financials. It was just based on, you know, my attorney's ineptitude and not propounding discovery and his, unwillingness to even appear to discuss monthly support with me, because he was in DC when we had a scheduled mediated conference, which, by the way, I was at, even though my child had been in the ER multiple nights into the late night. He was in DC. It was January 5th. Like, he didn't show up, man. And then everything is based on lies and fraud. And the fact is, like, he never sued if you see somebody saying that you care so much about your kid and all these terrible things are happening, and then when the child stands up to you and is like, and calls CPS and tries to get the judge to hear, when those CPS things, by the way, you know, like sideline here, investigations are absolutely obstructed by attorney wise about material facts, like that they know. But when you sue a kid's mama and take the kid's mama from my children, and my youngest, again, the only one still a minor, has been with me for 2 years. People wonder about that. She was 6 years old, man. She was 6 years old, Chris. Yeah. When you sue for years and years, and after that person wins in a jury trial saying you care so much, but then when the child finally decides, and he agreed that she had this right. He agreed that she could live wherever she wanted and spend whatever time she wanted with whoever she wanted. So my kids have this unique provision. My child has this unique provision that she, and it's really like, I don't want to change anything about that, but she gets to decide if she sees him or not. And she's offered to see him with a supervisor like I had to have with me, treating me like a prisoner for years and years, but he won't do it. When you see somebody like that, and then you won't pay like for a $45 piano lesson, which is what I asked him to do like last week, like when you won't spend $500 of the tens of thousands of dollars you owe, which would keep me from fearing every day of losing my home and trying to scramble to do legal things I have to do while trying to find property I can sell off, you know?
Yeah.
If you won't even send your child that much money and you do the things like manipulating her with her little sister, raging at her on Christmas Eve prior to when your new wife, you know, who has assaulted her, this child who assaulted you, right? Yelling at my child on Christmas Eve that she's a sick person and that she's not his daughter after she finally agreed to see him so she could see her little sister. When you do those things, you never cared about the child. You never had any real reason. And the reason why he sued me, which I go back to the beginning of all this, is because I'm not just Alex's ex-wife. And there was a lot, as I've talked about, that I do still believe, like I'm a very conservative person about big government overreach into our privacy and things of that nature. I do think that some of the stuff that I was involved with was not great. But when I was really involved with InfoWars, it was nonpartisan. And there were people listening from both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. And that's just it. Like, I will never deny. Yeah. There was somebody in my group the other day that was like, well, he was right about this. He was right about that. I'm like, hey, man, I was literally mashing buttons for him. And on air the day that he had Richard Belzer on talking about his new book about the JFK assassination, and I came over Alex's little earpiece, like what I have in my ear, and was like, Alex, the Boston Marathon was just bombed. I was there for that rabbit hole. I actively got the older Tsarnaev's sparring partner's wife, like the guy that was shot in the top of the head by the FBI. I got her on the radio from Chechnya. She will not come back to the United States for fear of the government killing her. I am not even joking. That is a thing.
Yeah,
that
happened. Stuff.
That's a real
thing. That stuff, honestly. Yeah. So, well, and that's your deal, but it's not mine because I never really bought into the conspiracy stuff. Like, I don't buy into that stuff. Like, even on September 11th, and I know there's probably a lot of people in your audience. That you know, have strong feelings about that, whatever. But I was trying to light a candle. I was trying to light a candle out with my neighbors. Yeah. I don't really get that.
Yeah.
I see the non sequiturs. I had to sit there and hand type of a book, 9-1-1, Road to Tyranny, you know, because he can't type and it was just like a diatribe. I don't really, that's never, I never bought that, right? Yeah. I really did it.
And I'm with you there.
Yeah. I was
for that experience of the Boston Marathon and things like that. Like I was there. I was digging through those stories every day. And that was a wild rabbit hole, man. Now what it was, who knows? No idea, but there was a lot of really wild stuff going on with it.
What
I'm trying to say is that, while all that happened, you have to remember that this happened as well. you know, and you have to temper it with that. And you have to remember that, yeah, there's been a few things here and there, but what was the overall, and what is the overall? And the overall is typically cortisol. It's
I got a lot of that going on.
It's fear. It's fear. Yeah. It comes down to having people be afraid so that they will buy supplement. And
right.
I'm not
and,
saying that there
know, the
aren't
Boston
some peppers
Marathon?
Of that there aren't some peppers of truth in the daily content, well, things like that. Because yes, as I've said on this show and many, many other places, he reads the news, puts it through the lens of history, then extrapolates to the worst case scenario. Now, you remove that worst case scenario, you remove the fear, and you've actually got a decent show that, you know, like people like David Knight, stuff like that. There's a reason he don't work.
I don't know. Like, I'm not a fan of any of that stuff. I think it's all very misleading.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an education. He doesn't have any kind of real insight. He's not some guru. He's not the cult of Alex Jones really needs to be stopped. I mean, all I was saying, and I want to complete my sentence because I definitely, like in my marriage, actively you spoke up when I was like, no, this is wrong. And I think of myself as being effectively forced into labor without compensation and trafficked in many ways, you know, and control financially, which is what he's doing now. So the Boston Marathon in 2013, that was like when my divorce was going on.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And attorney negotiations.
That's why I was told to redirect your calls.
Yeah. And I was already like, I was trying to leave him in this collaborative process in the most softest way, in the softest possible way, because I knew he was going to be vindictive. And so he was. But, you know, the Boston Bomber was inspired by Alex. I think that his discourse is dangerous. I spoke up then as I do now. I spoke up in my marriage, and I believe I was already in divorce. I was in divorce negotiations when the Sandy Hook massacre happened, and I was horrified. I was involved to get him off the ground and rise his star and publicize him and establish his show and business systems. And then, you know, was to hire people who I hired. I believe I found Paul Joseph Watson of all things, which is terrible. I'm sorry, everybody, but hire people to come in who would take over what I had been doing. And then, you know, I was out. And when I was out with people that I would meet, I wouldn't want them to know who my ex-husband was. I first filed for divorce in 2004. And I was lured to stay in that relationship because he benefited from it. You know, that's the only reason why. And then we formed the corporation with the assistance of counsel advice. Our general counsel represented me personally. And then in my divorce, I want people to think of me as like, so like, say you're some guy and this guy, you know, you meet some guy at a TV, a little, nothing access TV show. Like that was basically our YouTube of the day, right? Yep. So you have a show, the same producer, and you can see like this guy gone. Okay. Let me call guy one, or I'll just say like, say my name instead of, or say I was Kelly the man, because Kelly's a man's name too. So Alex meets Kelly, if I were a man, and gloms onto me, knows that I have, you know, been able to raise attention in my previous work. Which was ironically for people for the ethical treatment of animals, like all over the globe, by doing things that I knew would raise attention. Some of them that I came up with, a lot of them I didn't, but getting, you know, headlines across the world for their advocacy, which by the way, I do not agree with them, and I left them on purpose.
Implementing but, infrastructure.
Well, more no publicity, man. Like shock grassroots activism. In a day and age when there was only like, you're going to go put your quarter in the newspaper machine and pull it out. Like that's all there was.
Yeah.
And like national news and big talk radio. We didn't have like a lot of like little shows and all this. So he sees Kelly at Access TV. He sees that, you know, even I guess in the role that I had with Access TV as their publicist, I was able to do stuff that they didn't know how to do. And he glomps onto me and he lures me into the spider web. And so I'm like, you know, my friend is really suffering the worst possible death, or one of them that there is, in hospice. I grew up in Europe. So my best friend here in the States from college was like the center of my world, and our friend circle was dispersed. And after I graduated, I moved back to Europe and worked there for a while. And so he meets me in this vulnerable situation, like lures me into the web, you know, tells me limited facts. So I come up with this idea to rebuild the Branch Davidian Church, which I do think is terrible that children and women and men and everybody was killed. I do not think David Koresh is great, and I'm sure that was horrible, but I wonder if there wasn't a softer way. And I'm still so grossly uninformed, I can't even speak about it. But I just said, well, we could do this, and this will get you on the wire, which it did. And then subsequent to that, doing other, you know, things of that nature to knowing how to do the, like, actual, like, press walk, like, get it in there, follow up, like, assure that everybody knows about it, to make sure photographers there at certain times, which then that you could do, and you could be all over the news, right? Now we've got, like, no way that's going to work, right?
Yeah.
So, and then taking his, like, basic MySpace type flashing website into the, you know, it's still very unattractive first version and then the second version, but it was for the genre ability of HTML and tables and frames. We didn't even have frames at that time, I don't think. You know, it was something different and engaging. And then getting, you know, making sure that he had nationally recognized guests to build his credibility and et cetera. And that's what I did. And I do not agree with many of the things that I did when I was there. Like, some of his discourse back then still was appalling, but there was a bipartisan, you know, dance that I do agree with, and I hope that we can get back to, because it's really segued into something horrible. My point is, then Kelly the man is lured into the spider web. You know, you don't need your own house. Just blow those people off. Get into litigation with them that I can later use against you, right?
Yeah.
My great master plan, which, you know, I should have still paid my rent. It was just stupid and whatever. But I was not evicted. That's all I say. It wasn't like a bad result, although it was unfair to my, you know, landlord. He was also being unfair to me, honestly. But then move into the house, and you're going to be sitting at this desk. I used to have my dad and sister package up in brown, you know, manila envelopes these videos I'm making, but you're going to, you know, we're going to bring this to the next level, and you're going to do it until we do. And then I set up, like, the mail order stuff for him. I was an editor for him. Oh, the Bohemian Grove thing. Like,
yeah,
you know, and even like his testimony in the trial, Chris, like, you know, I don't know how to do much. And I, you know, you've helped me lately because my audio is not good right now. And I just really am not that focused on production quality or whatever right now. But like that, testimony about his engineer coming over and setting up his studio and his bedroom. No, I like plugged an ISDN line into the wall, which is what we had back then for broadcast quality audio. And yeah, like he ran his own little like Radio Shack mixer covered in dust. But, you know, then I don't know, like just the way that all of that was so misconveyed and, Bohemian Grove, like, I went with him, and there's actually video that you can see, like somebody sent it to me, like I was so young and naive and stupid.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's like praising me and he's lauding me about, you know, how fantastic I am. I went with him because he couldn't even set up like a corded, handheld, you know, pretty big back then, like video, camera. So like it, Eddie Bauer backpack, or not was in a backpack. It was like a shoulder, like, canvas briefcase. Like I cut a hole and I wired the stuff because we didn't have wireless back then, and made sure that battery stuff was set. And he literally just like stepped over like a 3, you know, maybe like 2 foot hedge to walk into this thing. And then guess who stabilized and edited all the video? I did. And even when I'm doing it, I'm like, this is really weird. But I wasn't like, they're sacrificing children. I didn't believe that, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't, you know, and everything is so, like, hyped up. And that also, that was a Channel 4. That's John Ronson, who wrote the book and, you know, Men Who Start Goats and all this stuff. Like, that is, they are the ones who really also pushed that forward, you know, got him into international media, right? Mm. So after all that stuff, and Bohemian Grove was 2000, You know, I had a tragedy that I talk about when I spoke to John Melendez that I don't go into, but like I was horrible and it was related to him. And I felt like when I got pregnant, I had to marry him. And because I didn't have any resources and I was not working for anybody but him and et cetera. So then you're the man, the pregnant man, I guess. this person that's basically like completely helped this person get off the ground is intimately involved with everything. And then you're forced to work, you know, like I told you, like the day of like the emergency C-section of my son and all this stuff. And then you formalize this business partnership because you're trying to leave and he's trying to like lure you basically. You know, I had his like whole like, power of attorney to do anything, which, you know, I've been defamed and like Elizabeth Williamson's Sandy Hook book. And it's so offensive to me because I gave her so many leads and I've never made a cent off of what I talk about. I've made like, and I have, it's not necessarily true because I've made like $780 in my GoFundMe that's been up for 6 months and I'm super grateful to people that did do that. So I get, if that's making a cent, I did make that with great gratitude, but you know, that, then you go into a financial trial, which our financial trial is bifurcated or separate from the custody case, and major fraud, like horrible lies, aggravated perjury, attorney fraud, all this stuff is going on. You're forced out of town under terroristic threat, unlawfully restrained. And then while you're gone, you know, your businesses are valued to your exclusion by people that just started, you know, came on like his dad, making $500,000 a year. I earned nothing. They testified that I earned $2 million during 2014. I earned nothing. Like I literally earned nothing. And I had to pay millions to defend myself, and my counsel were completely unfiduciary, like non-loyal. One of them's now a judge, and the Texas family court system is so corrupt. These people are real, real corrupt actors. So if I were his business partner and that happened and I were a man, the stuff I've been raising the red flag about and saying for years and years, which is that if he hadn't done to me what he did in our financial trial, which is maybe how I should start framing it. And I'm sorry, I'm very angry about all this because I should not be struggling financially to help my child buy a backpack. You know, I shouldn't be living in fear of losing my home because I was defrauded. And that fraud that occurred in my divorce, my financial trial, like everybody try to visualize me as a man if you want to or whatever, in the context of not being a woman or a wife, but a person who owned a majority part interest in free speech systems, for instance. Okay.
Yep.
In that context, I was sued after that. My family was ruined. My family just ripped apart. My children's lives were my innocence, childhood, everything I'd instilled with them in them that they loved was taken from them. Their mother was taken from them. They were denied medical care. They were around depravity, drugs, alcohol, exposed to it. And that's enough said, but, you know, obviously the impact of that on kids is significant. And, you know, that was going on to keep me because I had to try and help my kids first and foremost. And let's not forget, Chris, I was being sued. So you can't just walk away from a lawsuit, right? Like, so I had to deal with that, spend millions of dollars doing that. I could see the jury trial and he sued me again. And then he reinvigorated another lawsuit. And this is all when Sandy Hook happened. And there's only one reason why he's done this. And his attorneys have done it. He doesn't know how to do it. It's because of this white collar crime that I've been calling the FBI about and writing to the DOJ about, wrote to the tip line and January 6th tip line. Far, far before people were like, you should contact them or you should give the phone data, you know, to tell them, give them the phone data first. Will you do that? Will you do that? I was on the phone, like I was in contact. I had been interviewed in an informal interview that morning by their investigator. And the first thing I did when I found out is I sent that investigator an email informing him that that data was available. So what, you know, my position is if the attorney fraud, corporate crime, you know, also Alex's parents and my attorney's corporate crime with their incapacitated, you know, but willing. I mean, the thing is, like, he's incapacitated with the kind of mental illness that enjoys hurting people and enjoys making tons of money and being famous. I mean, that's who he is, right? But he's not the mastermind. So if all of that stuff had happened and I'm still begging law enforcement to look into it. And I hope and I believe that the Sandy Hook plaintiffs can see that the Shaw corporations were formed during my marriage and divorce to defraud me, right? If that had been stopped, which is really like also a central point of my advocacy, Chris, because these family attorneys in Austin, they hurt kids all the time and they do it a lot. I know another woman who had like a lot of assets and lost them all. I know actually two women that happened to. And so under the guise of family law, you know, and in my case, and sealed hidden hearings with a special judge who did not comply with like due process and legal appointed experts, he defrauded me of, they actually did. He needs to be protected from himself and America from him, and that we have InfoWars in its current rendition or at all, because I wanted to sell it off and shut it down in my divorce. And when I said I wanted to do it after, I just lost my kids, right? But they are responsible. The corrupt judge, Warney, Judge Douglas Warney, the corrupt judges after that, Judge Livingston and Judge Naranjo, and then his attorneys, his law firms, I call them out again. They've never sued me. Okay. I call them out by name and I talk about the crimes and fraud they've been involved in. And they are big ass, giant, multi-million dollar firms and they've never sued me. And believe me, if I were saying something that was defamatory, they would. And I've asked them specifically, if I'm saying something that's not true or that you construe to be or believe to be defamatory, inform me now with specificity so I can change it. Mm. Like I have had to deal with these people. Those people are the fraudsters, the unethical attorneys, the people who violated state and federal law with their fraud on the court and otherwise, you know, interfering with Child Protective Service investigations, with the manipulations, with the fraud and the property division and all of that. Those are the people you should blame for their current rendition of InfoWars and all the divisiveness. And without their corrupt actions, which I hope, Chris, I'm being effective. I hope that somebody from law enforcement will hear me, not as a woman or an ex-wife, but as somebody who lost all of their corporate property. That was corporate property that would not have existed if they had not been there in the beginning and helped through the many years, often under protest and unwillingly. After 2008, when my youngest child was born, I was really not involved with any of the content, right? Except when I, you know, like to say, what on earth are you doing? I'm Pierce Morgan saying these horrible things. like, this is so terrible. And mostly he wasn't around me, right? I was just like in the background, but having, I guess, the props that he reused on the stand, like this family, these beautiful kids, which are not, you know, which she has so misused. But I hope that law enforcement and everybody, including everybody that's like intervening or stating a claim in that bankruptcy case, will see me as a business having a 51% partnership interest in a corporation and other assets that were defrauded from me and other assets that were hidden that I'm going to bring forward that I know about. I know where the money is hidden. I know what they've done to hide and misuse, misappropriate my kids' identities to hide assets. And so that's what I'm hoping. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it's very important to me. And I'm tired of being apologetic for having been, victimized and married to Alex Jones. And I have my right to have my own political beliefs and they are not his in any way, shape or form. I did not, he is what he is now because he hurt me and my kids and hurt me and my kids for years. Right.
Yep.
And so I'm done with that. I'm a strong person. And I have real duty to continue this discourse that I've been trying to get out there forever. And I have a real duty to dispel disinformation. And I really have a duty to stop those attorneys and to draw attention to how corporate mass, you know, giant multi-million dollar crime happens under family court guise. But not just that, how kids are ripped from their parents by fraudulent, non-caring parents who cannot do it without attorneys that do it when they do it and they scheme to do this over and over again, know that they're breaking the law and know that they're filing fraudulently. And this is their lifeblood. And they live in, you know, mansions built on the tears of children. You know, it's just horrible. So
yeah,
there's my diatribe.
Well, and that's just it. And once again, that's why I wanted you to come on, because once again, I think that next to the Sandy Hook parents, you and your children are the most affected by all of this, by every bit of it, by the rabbit hole that has literally become this cult of personality. So you're always welcome on my show.
Thank you. I wanted to eat it there. I mean, we can have fun with it too, but it's you know, and that's why, Chris, like you put my website up. This is kellyjones.com. Mm-hmm. It's just a landing page. Like, I'm hoping to bring this information forward in a palatable way that's not just broody, because Americans really don't understand our civil process, number one, and we really all should, because you can find yourself in it. And family court is the court that most people of any will find themselves in.
Yeah.
And it's a court that more money flows through than all courts combined, all civil courts combined. So, you know, I have a What the Court prototype coming soon when I'm not filing. And I just really appreciate you listening to me. I mean, you've been so kind to me through the years. I'm so supportive, and I know you get it. I'm sorry that I'm not a scorched earth bitter ex. I'm a defrauded human being, you know, and my kids were so horribly harmed and still are being horribly harmed by this.
And that's just it. Like I know exes, both ex-husbands and ex-wives that wish bitter ill upon their ex. Not the case with you, Kelly. I have even apologized to you in the past after our private conversations when I have gotten carried away by the news at hand, or the stories at hand, and have even said discrediting things about Alex, where it's like, or disparaging things, I should say, privately, where I have even apologized to you and said, that is the father of your children. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say that to you. And I shouldn't say it, period. So
I mean, his actions are abhorrent, Chris. Like, his behaviors are appalling. He's absolutely destroyed countless lives, not just mine and my family's, but other people who fall prey to, you know, his absolute propaganda based on deceptive trade. You know, it's hard not to. My point is, like, I want him stopped, and that's what I've always wanted. And I'm glad, you know, this little ding that the Sandy Hook parents got. Again, my intention is to, by the action that I have to necessarily take, like, get back to what was mine so I can give most of it to them, right? Yeah. I'm not in this for money. I'm in it for what's right and true. And you know, it's hard not to. I mean, if people have a good time because he hurt them, and they have a good time saying he looks terrible and he's crazy and he's a POS or whatever. Yeah, he is a sick man, like the kind of sickness I think that we see people get put away for life, you know, institutionalized for life. Like that I think that he doesn't have it in civil court, but there's an element of real insanity there that people don't understand. And it's not that I don't, you know, I hate what he's done to my kids and my family. Right. I hate what he's done to America. I hate what he's done to the Sandy Hook people. I hate his behaviors and actions. His attorneys are the people that people should be angry, really angry at, and him too, for engaging in it. But he couldn't do it. Sure. He couldn't have done it and really ripped our country apart and driven an authoritarian discourse without the attorneys assisted him to real crime or fraud.
Absolutely.
He's dangerous, man. He's a dangerous, you know, monster person. But he is, you know, they had a duty to protect him from himself and to stop him and to protect everybody else from him. Yeah. So that's my position.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, as always, Kelly. Once again, you always have a home here. I look forward to many more conversations in the future. I look forward to helping you get your message out there. Thank you again.
That's so nice of you. You're the nicest. You're the nicest and so patient with my constant interruption. You're so kind.
No worries.
And I can't wait to hear your show more.
Well,
like, we talked about the activity at my house, like the crazy lights in the sky. Like,
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we live in an interesting world for sure. Well,
please do hold the line while I close things out. While you are online checking out thisiskellyjones.com as well as her GoFundMe out there for funds to help legal fees for her daughter and stuff, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. Curious Realm is the home for all of the episodes. That's the home for all of our media. That's where you can find embedded YouTube channels of all of our guests. That's where you can go to the store, buy books. That's where you can go and see our upcoming on-location live streams. We were just at the International Remote Viewing Association Conference in Menlo Park, Florida. Our next upcoming live stop will be from the IANS Conference, the International Association for Near-Death Studies, coming up in Salt Lake City. So look forward to that as always. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault on our website, CuriousRealm.com. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast services, as well as YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV through the APR TV app, available on all app markets. Curious Realm is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content or to become a sponsor of Curious Realm or other podcasts, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.